This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. So glad you're with us this weekend, as you are each weekend. It wouldn't be the same without you. And as we start our program, we turn our attention to our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. His website is rippleconnects.com. You can reach him by phone at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. We survived the holiday weekend, and with us right now, we're talking with Joe McKenzie about sought-after transferable skills in a reopening economy. Good morning, Joe McKenzie.
Good morning, Freddie Bell. How are you?
Unbelievable. Glad you're with us this weekend. And let's talk about that. I know that our economy has been transformed. The way that we work has been transformed. And now we're talking about transferable skills, some of the sought-after transferable skills that employers are looking for in reopening the Minnesota economy. Let's talk about that a little bit this weekend. Where do we start, and how do you identify some of those skills?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think people should know that your skills that you have in one industry may transfer to another industry. So that just knowing what they are, your unique transferable skills, I think is a first step. And with a reopening economy, things, the way we've done business and deliver on services has changed, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Things are really different.
Exactly. So the fact is that some of our transferable skills may be more relevant today than they were just a couple of years ago in certain industries. What I mean by that is, if you're doing more virtual, or you've repurposed your company to deliver on services differently, the ability to have that transferable skill of teamwork or problem solving or adaptability, that's what's needed today as we reopen an economy. That was what was needed in the middle of a pandemic. So I think for our listeners today, know what your transferable skills are and know what these industries are looking for, because as the economy reopens, this is how you can gain leverage to land that ideal engagement, knowing what your transferable skills are. Because many employers, Freddie, are still mapping out how they're going to get from point A to B because so much has changed. Well, let's do them a service by letting them know what our transferable skills are and, you know, make us a more attractive candidate in taking that contender mindset to say, hey, one of my top transferable skills is adaptability and teamwork. Knowing how to work with the team to get through a pandemic is probably something that's very marketable today. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I would agree. I mean, there are so many skills like that, of working with the team, of working virtually. I know a lot of companies have already indicated that some employees may not be coming into the physical workplace. But I guess the question would be, as you just posed to me, what would be some of the transferable skills that there are some people who are listening right now and say, well, I'm not really sure of what my transferable skills are. How do you help to identify those, Joe?
Absolutely. And what we talk about today, you may have some of those transferable skills. That's the important thing. So as I start to look at some of the drastic changes that have occurred in the last year and a half, someone that has that transferable skill of adaptability, being able to pivot, to be able to put into action something that was how you conducted business differently than the month before, that's a highly sought after transferable skill. Not everybody can adapt or even put it into action or carry it in and day out. You know, the ability to adapt, the ability to work closely as a team, even though you may not be in the same building, that is a highly sought after transferable skill. Freddie, you know many organizations that did very well during the pandemic. And you know some organizations that struggled through the pandemic. Isn't teamwork one of the top transferable skills that helped those organizations that did well? That was the transferable skills that existed in that organization?
I would imagine so. I mean, that's a big one, Joe McKenzie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just the fact that you had to relearn how you were going to work as a team, even though it was all virtual. And just that motivation to work as a team, that's even more important. So that's a transferable skill that employers are looking for, Freddie, as they reopen new opportunities, new markets, open themselves up, they need employees that have those types of skills.
There's some people listening right now, they're going, well, Joe McKenzie, I didn't see anybody for the last year. How can you be talking about teamwork?
Well, if you were able to deliver on those services, although differently, that if you had to communicate, work together, collaborate, bounce ideas off each other, that's the teamwork that existed. If your organization still delivered upon those products and services successfully, then there, I'm sure that the foundation, the core of it, was teamwork.
Interesting. What about resilience in the list that of the top transferable skills that we're talking about this weekend? How does resilience play?
I would put that in the top 5 to 10. How many people wanted to give up during the pandemic because they just could not see the light at the end of the tunnel? My guess is many, many employees out there going, why am I doing this? How is this even going to be possible? But that resiliency factor, that's to be able to lean in, even though it wasn't the same way as a year ago, and just being resilient and have that resolve, that's an employee transferable skill that I want to have on my team, because I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know if some other disruption is going to happen. But isn't it comforting to know that if you had someone that has that resiliency built into their DNA?
That would be big. That would be big. Yes. We know that no matter what you throw at this person, seemingly they'll bounce back.
In any industry, right?
That's right.
Retail, transportation, healthcare, nonprofit, education. Think of the resiliency of those teachers that had to teach kids virtually for the first time, virtually, and how they hung in there knowing that, hey, we can get through this. We're going to have to make some adaptations, but I'm going to hang in there. Or the healthcare providers that could not see their patients. They may have to do it virtually or deliver a service different. Or a nonprofit that couldn't do the normal fundraising or outreach to make sure that all the community was being served. That's resiliency. And that is a skill. That's a transferable skill that employers are looking for today. In fact, they're highly sought after, those skills, because we don't know what's around the corner. No one does. If you hire an employee that is resilient in nature, they can get through a lot of things.
That's exactly right. And we're talking with Joe McKenzie this weekend. We're talking about the sought-after transferable skills in a reopening economy here in Minnesota. And how does problem-solving work its way into this whole discussion, Joe?
Well, we had to deliver on our services differently, right? To manage the expectation of our customers, to be able to do what we're always meant to do. That took problem solving, how you're going to dissect the problem, how you're going to bring in other minds to help solve that problem. Because you may have had to solve that problem 16 times during the pandemic, Freddie.
That's true.
Want to have an employee that has problem solving ability to be able to dissect the problem, to be able to bring in the right people to formulate the right solution. And if you don't have someone that's willing to solve problems, I think that pandemic and the post-pandemic the business world is going to suffer. You've got to have someone that can solve problems and get out in front of them in case something needs to be changed. That's a highly sought after transferable skill. Do you agree with that, Freddie, firsthand? Have you seen people that attack the problem during the pandemic?
Absolutely. The first time they kind of backed away, and then they just started using a term we're calling leaning in. They started leaning into the issue, whatever it was. And they found newfound skills as a result of that. And I think that led to them developing what I call, and you call as well, emotional intelligence. Let's outline that for a second, Joe.
Well, the emotional intelligence piece, just the ability to work through a lot of things that are thrown at you, but really that high level of emotional intelligence is that credibility, that integrity piece, Freddie. You're doing things what's right for everybody involved, and that may mean your organization. A leader is going to make decisions that is going to help as many people as they can, not about just themselves. So you looked for people that carry that high level of emotional intelligence. And it really focuses on that integrity piece, making good decisions for that organization, the customers, the stakeholders, the employees. I think a high level of emotional intelligence is sought after today. And I believe that successful organizations find people that the employees that have that high emotional intelligence, where they know that integrity is the basis of it.
Exactly. Joe, we're out of time, and I know you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan, administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guide, simple checklist, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. With me right now is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team, Elizabeth Ebolt. And again, she serves as the Vaccine Outreach Director. Hello, good morning, and welcome back.
Hi, good morning, Freddie. It's great to be back.
Glad you're with us. And I was wondering, now that we see about half the state, if not more, has been vaccinated, can you tell us more? Now, there are questions that we're hearing about, what can we do? What can we not do? Do I need to wear a mask? Can I go out in public now for the first time in some cases? Can you give us, first of all, the things that we can do now that we've been vaccinated?
Sure. I can certainly speak to that, Freddie. I think we've all spent the last year hearing so much about what we can't do. And so this new guidance coming from the CDC really is a breath of fresh air and a source of hope for a lot of people who, you know, the last year have been taking part in this collective effort to stop the spread of this disease. So let's get to the things that we can do. When we talk about fully vaccinated people, we mean people for whom at least 2 weeks have passed since they received the second dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines or a single dose of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. So what we're still understanding how the vaccines will affect the spread of this disease. So even if you've been fully vaccinated, I want to stress this, you should still keep taking precautions in public places like restaurants or gyms by wearing a mask, staying 6 feet apart, avoiding crowds and poorly ventilated areas, covering your coughs and sneezes, and washing your hands often. But if you've been fully vaccinated, again, here's what's changed for you. Here's what you can do. You can get together indoors with other fully vaccinated people without wearing a mask. You can get together indoors with unvaccinated healthy people from one other household. So for example, this would be like a grandparent traveling to visit their children and grandchildren who all live together in the same household. And you can do that without wearing a mask. But if you're visiting a household where there will be immunocompromised people there who are at increased risk of getting really sick if they catch the coronavirus, you should still wear a mask. For fully vaccinated people, if you've been around someone who's had coronavirus, you don't need to stay away from others anymore or get tested unless you develop symptoms. But if you live in a group setting or around someone who has coronavirus, and by group settings, we mean a group home, congregate care facilities, you know, someone who's in a correctional institution, you should still stay away from others for 14 days and get tested, even if you don't have any symptoms. And lastly, if you work in a high density setting, like a meatpacking facility, for example, you don't need to quarantine after an exposure to the coronavirus. But again, testing is still recommended.
Everyone, we're talking with Elizabeth Ebel. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. What are people telling you? Are you getting stories that are somewhat unbelievable where maybe an hour or two after receiving the dosage, whether it's one or two, that people are telling you that they immediately feel better?
You know, I do think that some public health officials have been referring to the doses as a form of liquid gold. I think that when people go and get this vaccine, I mean, the weight of the last year is tangible. People have lost loved ones. People have lost neighbors. They have seen, you know, really the worst of times in their lives. So I do think that there is a sense of relief and a sense of hope that this vaccine gives people. And whether that is, you know, from the vaccine itself, as soon as it goes coursing through your body, or just a sense of, wow, I am part of the solution and I can see the other end of this. I mean, that's big, and it really means a lot to people.
Even with this great news about more and more people getting vaccinated, there are still pockets of individuals, particularly people of color, there are BIPOC communities, who are still reticent to get this vaccine. What would you say to those individuals right now?
You're right, Freddie, and it's something that we have been keeping at the forefront throughout this entire process. We understand certainly all of the concerns and history and, yes, just sort of reticent thoughts that people might have to getting this vaccine. We have been partnering with community-based organizations throughout testing and into vaccine to make sure that we have the closest connection to community. We have people that are known and trusted within all the populations we work with, within our BIPOC, within our LGBTQ+, with persons with disabilities. We're working through the entities that they trust most to really, you know, provide as much comfort and as much safety around getting this vaccine for them, answering questions about what we know and also answering questions about what we don't quite know yet. And so I do think that transparency has been helpful in allowing people to come to a personal decision. Ultimately, getting this vaccine is a very personal decision for people. And we just want people to have all the information that they need to then make that decision for themselves.
How wise is it to wait for the herd immunity to take effect rather than taking the vaccine?
You know, we've heard a lot about herd immunity over the last year, whether used appropriately or not. I'll say that the good news is we're working through our vaccine phases much quicker than we anticipated. We have reached nearly 80% of vaccination of our seniors in the state. That's amazing. I would never have thought that a year ago. I think what I would like to say to people is that if a vaccine is made available to you and you find it in your best health interest to get vaccinated, take the vaccine. Every single vaccine that's administered is one step closer to us getting on the other side of this disease when it comes to our health and well-being, when it comes to our economy, when it gets to getting back to, you know, things that we feel comfortable and miss doing. So I would just continue encouraging people that if a vaccine is made available, you should take it.
How can you encourage us when people are taking the vaccines? We see the numbers, and even earlier in the week, we saw that there was at least one day where there were no deaths reported in the state of Minnesota. There's still the question, Elizabeth Ebel, but how long do we have to go through this before we get back to a different state of normalcy?
I think for that, you know, that's top of mind for everyone. And, I want to have a magic wand and say, we can all go back to normal. What I can say is that we don't want to move backwards at this point. We're making steady progress forward, but we know the things that will set us off course. That's if we get too loose with our interactions in public as we're still working through our vaccine allocation and distribution. It's if we're not taking the precautions to wear a mask and washing our hands and staying out of poorly ventilated areas and all of those things. So I think the more we remain, the more that we keep those top of mind, those activities that have before were so foreign, but now are sort of a second skin to all of us, as long as we keep those top of mind and keep moving forward with those as we immunize more people, that will get us one step closer to, you know, that normal that so many of us are searching for.
All right. Great words. That's Elizabeth Ebel. She is the Vaccine Outreach Director for the state's COVID-19 Vaccine Response Team. Can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Freddie. Take care.
The State Fair Community Vaccination Site is now administering Johnson & Johnson shots and accepting walk-up appointments for the site's final 2 weeks. It will be entirely focused on administering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those who register in advance or on-site when they arrive. With all the great accessibility features, including multiple drive-through lanes, translators on-site, and free Metro Transit passes for all who register in advance. No ID is required during registration or at the site. For more information and to schedule an appointment, 833-431-2053. This message is a service of the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
If you want to do more, gain more, or be more, that's prosperity, our point of focus. Even though abundance and prosperity is as vast as the ocean, you can only carry as much water as your container will hold. If you want to enjoy more, if you want to experience more, if you want to have more, you have to come to the party with a larger container. You have to prepare yourself. You have to get ready. You have to be in that moment and be ready to experience prosperity no matter how it comes. So when you come looking for water, bring the largest container you can find. And after you fill that container, be sure to share it with others. That's our point of focus, prosperity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Chris Erisman with us, the Director of Infectious Disease from the Minnesota Department of Health. And today at the Urban League, there is a big vaccination event. They're looking for the entire community to come out. With us right now is Chris Erisman to talk a little bit with us about that. The Attorney General for Minnesota is the lead. 300 people vaccinated in a single event. Is that unheard of?
That would be wonderful to have 300 people vaccinated. And, you know, I'm really grateful to the Attorney General for taking the lead on this. You know, it's really important as we think about vaccinating that, you know, everybody sees people that they respect and value that are leaders in their community that are providing positive messages on vaccination. And the Attorney General is a great leader within, you know, our state and within the African American community. And so for him to really take the stand and offer vaccines and be a part of that event, I think it's really significant. And I certainly hope that every one of those slots is filled up. And I can tell you this, that if more people want vaccine, we would be delighted to figure out a way to offer more than 300 doses.
All right. That's Chris Erisman, the Director of Infectious Disease and Control at the Minnesota Department of Health, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Please welcome an individual who is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Hapala. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, Freddie. It's good to be with you as always.
My goodness. You know, looking for a job right now can be a little difficult because I know that, you know, you got two things happening. You've got the employers who can't find work, and then you've got the employees, potential employees, who are looking for opportunities. But there is opportunities, from what you're telling us, for scams. How is that possible?
Yeah, that's right. If you're like me, you saw front page news yesterday about the worker shortage and how employers are raising wages. So you think, if we're lucky, people are going to be finding better jobs. But that job search process is a vulnerable time for people to be victimized by scams, because just like every scam, these job scams include ways that make the victim react with strong emotions. And when people get emotional, they can make financial mistakes just because of the way our brains are wired. And so you know that searching for a job is emotional, whether the job seeker is desperate for income and just making ends meet, or now they're being offered some great job of their dreams, and it gets them all emotional. So right away, I got to say, don't ever pay for a job application or give someone your bank account number, send them a prepaid gift card because they have this very attractive job for you to apply for. You know, some jobs might require a credit check, but that shouldn't be the first form you're filling out with all your financial information and personal information.
Jay, I think I've been scammed because I can remember some time ago having to pay for a credit check for a job, and by the way, I didn't get it.
Oh, man, who knows? It could have been some way to get $30 off of you or something like that.
Hmm. Oh, my God.
Is that not usual to have to pay for a credit check with a job?
You know, it would be surprising for an employer that has got to the point that they want to, you know, hire someone and they make them pay, you know, $30 to do a credit check. Come on, if they want to hire you and pay you tens of thousands of dollars a year, I think they ought to be able to handle the credit check.
Yeah.
You would think so. Everybody, Jay Hapala with us, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement, AARP Twin Cities. And I know that there are even more complex scams than that that are out there right now, Jay.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a lot of this, I think, has to do with identity theft. So when someone is searching for a job, mm-hmm. they are going to do anything that hiring manager says. You know, fill out this form, send us your resume, even though everything in the job application is already on your resume. But if someone got mixed up in a scam, now they might be filling up that job application. It's asking for their social security number, banking information. So that's one way that people are getting victimized in these kind of job scams. But there are, like you say, some more complex scams that are these work from home jobs or payment processing scams and secret shopping. This woman I know who's from Bloomington, she retired from her main job and then she got this work from home job. Her first assignment was to be a secret shopper, and they told her to go to her bank. They sent her a check by FedEx, so it showed up in this very official envelope. Mm-hmm. And she was supposed to go to the bank, cash the check, send some money with the wire transfer, and then fill out a survey about their customer service. Mm-hmm. And in the end, what happened is that check was fake, so she sent her own money, and then they couldn't trace where that money went, so what she sent was lost.
Wow.
And then there's another type of scam that we talk about, these money mule type of scams, where people get recruited to work from home and their job is to process these payments coming into their own bank account. But that money is coming from other scam victims, so they're really just laundering money and helping these kingpin scammers stay away from the cops. So there's a lot to look out for out there. But how do you be safe when you're searching for a job? And so I have some suggestions. I already said never pay anything up front. Two, watch out for what kind of websites and job listings you're searching through online. And so I suggest using well-known websites like USA Jobs or usajobs.gov, Indeed, LinkedIn, Monster, the other ones you know about, you've seen them before. If you stumble onto some kind of job posting on a social media site you haven't heard of the company before, now you got to do your research. So do a web search using the company name and words like scam or review, and try to figure out, is this a legitimate thing or maybe it is a scam. And then I heard about this when it comes to these sort of gig jobs that people get. You want to look up the address of the company. Do they have an address in the first place? And is it supposed to be this warehouse, but when you look it up, it's in a residential area? Mm-hmm. So do that research and just be cautious out there. Mm-hmm. Just be cautious. I know people, you know, you're excited or, you know, some people are on hard times and they need to get that job, but it's time to take a step back and be cautious. So if folks need any help with this, they can call us in AARP's Fraud Watch Network. It's 877-908-3360. Or just look us up online. Just do a search for AARP Fraud Watch Network. And you'll find lots of information that can help you. And when you report these kind of scams to us, then we can help everyone make sure that they don't become the next victim.
Just when I thought it was safe to look for an opportunity, there's always something new.
Always.
Well, we're all working together on this, trying to keep people safe.
Well, thank you so much for that. And that's Jay Hampala. And that number again is 877-908-3360. Thanks so much for being with us, Jay.
You got it. Thank you.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings, and it's our pleasure to bring you our program this week. And now we turn our attention to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and we have an opportunity to talk with his esteemed property manager, Kitty Harris, and she has some great things to tell us. But first of all, Kitty, if you'll let our listeners know how they can reach you if they like to reach out directly to the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Absolutely. Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you. The Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is located at 1015 4th Avenue North in Minneapolis, and you can give us a call at 612-344-2221 or visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
Kitty, I can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm hearing this from a lot of different quadrants around our community. As our communities start to reopen, as the vaccines are starting to take hold, and I'm sensing that there are some changes at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, too.
Yes, we are so excited. As the summer months come, it brings new opportunities for us to for things to start to look a little bit normal for us. And so over at the center, as we start to go into the month of June and doing different things, we have hosted several vaccine clinics over the last couple of months to get people vaccinated. And now we're excited. We will be having a Juneteenth program again this year. It'll be on a little bit smaller scale. We've hosted several breast cancer events for the community in partnership with Park Nicolet. And so we're just excited to start having these opportunities for our older adults again in the community. And very soon coming, our senior rock group, Alive and Kicking, will be doing a summer concert series where we will have it outside and put some chairs in our parking lot where people can just come and listen to some music and rock out. So we're just excited for the opportunity to start gathering again.
Everyone, we're talking with Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And you may not have this stat right off the top of your head. How many people would you say that the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center serves in a given month or even in a year? However you would like to state that.
Well, I would say our post-COVID notes, when we were doing tracking, we were serving over 10,000 individuals in a given year between our monthly bingos, our community events, the programs that the partners on site provide for their patients and their clients that they serve. And so, of course, we've had a dramatic decline in that number, but we're very excited to have all of our service providers up and running at full capacity and being able to step into that role and provide that much-needed health and wellness component for our community.
What does reopening look like for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center? Is it all at one time or is it gradual? Because I know you have a number of collaborative partners.
Yes, so that has been a very interesting conversation when you have so many distinct organizations on site. And so one of the things that we have been focused on is continuing to follow the guidance of the city of Minneapolis, because we're under that guideline, but also following the guidance from the CDC. And so we have slowly started to have events in our great room with a limited number of people. We've been able to host a few things. It kind of have it spread out onto our patio. We've been able to utilize our large parking lot to do that. And so it's really just continuing with our sanitation protocol that we already had in place, but just being mindful that we want to make people as comfortable as possible to gather and also continuing to be a resource for those people who have yet to get vaccinated to let them know that we can still help guide them to get that much needed service as well.
Kitty, are you still under a vaccination program? Are you still working with the Minnesota Department of Health in providing vaccines for those who need them?
Yes, absolutely. So if someone is still in the community and they are needing information on where to go in the community to get a vaccine, they can certainly give us a call at 612-344-2221, and I will guide them to the necessary resources that are in their area. We know that this will be an ongoing process as things continue to open up. We want to make sure that that resource is still available to people, and we are very much still working with the community to provide those vaccine clinics.
As the community opens up, as the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center reopens or opens wider, what are some of the learnings that you've had that you'll continue even though COVID is starting to be in our rearview mirror?
I think the biggest takeaway that we've had, we're so blessed to have such a large facility in our great room to be able to have meetings where we can space people out and utilize technology. So for us, I think the biggest takeaway is reassurance to our clients that we are, whatever we're hosting, we're doing in the safest way possible. When our building was built, it was already built with a lot of green initiatives. When we got the RF funding for our facility. So our facility already had a lot of the internal air filtration processes that a lot of buildings did not have. So we were above the curve on that piece. And so we have revamped all of our internal ducts even in that to make sure that we have increased airflow. But mostly it's just about making sure that your clients that come have that reassurance that you are making sure that your COVID protocols are in place so that they can safely gather.
My final question for you this weekend, we're talking with Kitty Harris, the property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. How has this whole process changed you, Kitty Harris? I'm just curious.
I think this process has changed me with the type of personality that I have and allowing me to slow down and rethink new ways to engage our community. And I am also proud of all of our older adults that were able to jump in and learn these new processes. It was an extreme learning curve. And so it was a very humbling experience for me a year later to say, you know, we're finally looking like what we did before, and we're able to provide those services. And I get the greatest joy when I come into the building and I see people now. So that lets me know the more people that I get to see as they enter the building, as they're walking the walking track, as they're coming for their doctor's appointments, I know that we've made it on the other side. And it's a very rewarding feeling to see those smiling faces.
Wow. Tell us once again how we can connect with the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
You can give us a call at 612-344-2221, or you can visit us on Facebook under Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center.
That's Kitty Harris, and this is New Beginnings. Thanks for being with us.
As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
One's individuality is that part that never changes its identity. It is the God self, or the Christ ideal within. One's personality may become like that of others, with one with whom you associate, but your individuality never changes. I notice that when I'm paying attention to myself, my mask, my costume. I don't know if you've had this experience, but gathering with others, chit-chatting, getting into stories of ain't it awful, where is the world going, or even that word gossip. And sometimes I kind of get into that scene, and then when I'm myself or by myself again, I'll have this profound inner feeling. That was not me. That is not who I want to be. But I allowed myself to roll along in that current of groupthink. What others are saying. And I allow myself to be persuaded and moved by it. Well, at least I'm grateful that when I'm alone and quiet, the very depth of my being poses that question. Is that how you want to appear to the world? Is that mask and costume really appropriate to who you are? To the spirit that I gave life to and placed on this earth? You have more important work to do. And it always reminds me of a scripture, a phrase appropriated to Jesus. When all this outer stuff is going on, I hear Jesus' words, "What is that to you? Follow me." What is that to you? Follow me. That is, that's just outer stuff. It's here. We experience it all the time. But Jesus says, follow me. Follow the truth within your being. What is your authenticity? That's what you need to be about. But don't worry. This inner voice will remind us over and over through the years how many times it takes to get us grounded in our truth, the spirit God created, what we are to ultimately be in this world. Katie continues, we cultivate individuality by listening to the still small voice down deep within us and boldly following it, even if it does make us a little different from others. As the church lady said, a little special. Or it will. When you stand in your integrity, in your truth, in your purpose, you do stand out from others in a good way. You become more radiant, more powerful, and your presence encourages others. They may not have the words for it, but they just know when they're around you, you're such a genuine, true person that they feel encouraged, uplifted, motivated, joyful. Life coach Christopher Connors has outlined 5 qualities of the authentic person, or what Katie calls the individual. I'd like to just share them briefly. Point 1, be true to yourself. Authentic people are high character individuals who don't just talk the talk, they also walk the walk. Which means they back up their positive, empowering words with authentic actions that benefit themselves and others. His second point, think inward, look outward. Authentic people are deep thinkers who generate thought power from within and transpose it outward to add value to their lives and the lives of others. It begins within your truth. Be mindful of your thoughts and how your actions influence others. Third point, the way you treat people with kindness and respect. Be kind to those around you and watch how radically. You know what that word means? Not wild. Radical means to go to your root of being. Your fundamental truth. So watch how radically you are grounded in your truth and your life begins to change the way that you treat others with kindness and respect. Fourth point, Sean also helped us with that. Live in the moment. Live in the moment and be a great listener. Living in the moment means concentrating on exactly what is happening in your life at that precise time. It demands we remove the baggage and clutter from our lives to be our best in each moment. Please do not stop in my office after service. I don't want you to see my cluttered desk. So much piled up. And we can do that with our life and our presence in the world. People see us cluttered with a lot of stuff and a lot of activity. And it covers up the radiance of the truth of who we are. So live in the moment and be a great listener. Be aware of yourself. And be aware of others when you're in their presence. Fifth point, open-mindedness and fairness to opportunities and to people. Open-mindedness is built on trust, faith, and an acceptance of a call to action in our life to find our purpose. It means we are fair-minded and willing to entertain new thoughts, ideas, and people and the good that they bring to our life and our world.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
The State Fair Community Vaccination Site is now administering Johnson & Johnson shots and accepting walk-up appointments for the site's final 2 weeks. It will be entirely focused on administering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those who register in advance or on-site when they arrive, with all the great accessibility features, including multiple drive-through lanes, translators on-site, and free Metro Transit passes for all who register in advance. No ID is required during registration or at the site. For more information and to schedule an appointment, 833-431-2053. This message is a service of the Minnesota Department of Health.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.